priority is offensive tackle. I've heard this. Our staff at DK Pittsburgh Sports has heard this. And you're hearing this. The question is it going to be the best possible option for the quarterback? Good morning to you. Good Monday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into hockey and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. It is, of course, a quarterback Monday here on Daily Shot. Why did we start this? It was a few weeks ago. I remember. We were going to limit the conversation on Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. So it was all going to be on Mondays. And then we were going to have the other 4 days to talk about other stuff to keep from driving people crazy. Yeah. Well, it's still gone. It's still quarterback Monday. And I'm thinking as the Steelers approach this draft, which is, of course, Thursday night, and the number 20 overall pick, and how they really apparently seem to be set on, this is not a prediction on my part, it's reporting, there's a difference, they seem to be set on getting a tackle if that's possible. It might not be possible. They might not have their option of their preferred player when it gets there, so they might take a center, they might take something else, who knows. But they would want to get a tackle. So what does that say unto itself as it relates to this offense as a whole, and then, of course, from there to the quarterback? For me, it looks like it's more of a foundational move. You usually think of offensive line, maybe to a lesser extent, defensive line moves as being foundational. You want to put in players who can settle the process down, who can become as predictable as possible in a football environment. And I say that in a good way. The last thing any head coach of any team wants to be worried about is his offensive line or his defensive line. He'd rather just wake up not even wondering about those guys and instead thinking about how his coordinators are going to move around all of the various skill pieces. That's just how football's been for a really, really long time. And it's also why Chuck Knoll drafted Mean Joe Green and got everything going from there. My belief is that getting an offensive tackle, specifically a right tackle, which is obviously the direction in which the Steelers would want to go, will be something that benefits them foundationally for many years to come. For a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, you can use a right tackle. Two, you can use a right tackle who doesn't cost very much since they tend to cost a ton in free agency. And three, you're moving Broderick Jones across to the left side where he belongs. And whatever happens to Dan Moore happens to Dan Moore. But you're setting yourself up for something in which both Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith can go into a given week and say, we don't have to worry about that. Now, they're still going to have to worry about center, and we'll get to that at a different date in advance of the draft itself. But from the quarterback standpoint, see, this is where a lot of this tug of war is going to keep happening in our debates and discussions. Because we're going to see things that make sense for the longer term. And then we're going to remember that the Steelers aren't probably a longer term type of project. And that might apply doubly to the quarterback position since both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are signed for exactly 1 year each. Russ is not an easy quarterback to block for. Since I already mentioned Rudolph once on the show, I can do it again and say that one of the reasons that the offensive lineman really enjoyed blocking for him is because he was in a fixed spot. They knew where they needed to block. They knew where they needed to push people, and they knew they weren't going to get burned by it when they did. But there are more quarterbacks like Wilson than there are like Rudolph, and it's incumbent on the line to adjust to that. I don't think that's going to be a quick and, you know, seamless adjustment. I think it's going to be a challenge for this group, not just in training camp, not just in preseason, but into the regular season. I think they're going to have a tall task. Okay. I'm not going to express doubt on a group that we don't even know yet what it is, but I think for any offensive line setup, working with a quarterback who moves as much as Wilson always has and will continue to do, by the way, Wilson's never going to be one of those guys where they tell him the way they did with Ben Roethlisberger, hey, just stay right there. Stay where you are. You're at a different phase of your career or whatever. That's not Wilson. It's never going to be him. He's going to play the way he plays until he just not playing anymore. And now take everything that I just said about Wilson and extrapolate it by who knows how much when describing Fields, who he's not exactly a run first quarterback, but he runs a lot and he runs even more than Wilson. And unless those are designed runs, which they aren't always and weren't always in Chicago, then your offensive linemen are really adjusting. So to do all of this and then to have a rookie, yeah, you knew this is where I was going, right? To have a rookie at right tackle going with a first year full-time, meaning all 17 games, starter at left tackle, because Jones didn't come in until about a month into this past season. That's adding to things, you know? And I'm not sitting here criticizing it. I'm not sitting here saying I don't want a tackle. I'm trying to paint the entire picture here. And I think some of this could be at cross purposes. And that maybe, if circumstances were to align, that the Steelers would end up with a center. And if we're talking about the first round, we're talking about Jackson Powers Johnson, with all due apologies to Zach Frazier. He's not seen commonly as a first round guy. Everything kind of aligns more seamlessly. But are you as good? Because now Dan Moore is still starting. Now you have a rookie center. And now you still have the fairly new guy over a left tackle. When we come back, J1Q.
Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly, and George, LGKG, is a personal injury law firm in Western Pennsylvania that represents people hurt in car accidents or who need help with workers' comp or medical malpractice. When the attorneys at LGKG make you a promise, they keep it. They've been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. LGKG's been AV rated, the highest rating a law firm can receive, and they've been designated super lawyers. That's actually a thing for over 15 years. It's a rare combination. LGKG has offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. Learn more about them by visiting lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. LGKG.
Today's J1Q, and actually, you know what, before I get to the J1Q, speaking of just asking questions and getting answers, today at noon, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan will be meeting with us media types over on the South Side. I'll be there covering it, asking questions and so forth, and we'll be able to talk about that with some of their input on tomorrow's program. Sam asks, DK, in hindsight, I'm starting to really appreciate and miss Deontay Johnson. This is good. Yeah, he had drops and would check out of games mentally, but you can't take elite route running and separation for granted. Once it's gone, it becomes very expensive to replace. Sam, the reason that I love this question is that, A, I really appreciate your honesty, because it felt like to me that when Deontay was traded, and I'm not talking about from my perspective, but from what I sensed of the fan base, that it was, oh yeah, I remember these several bad things about him and things that I didn't like, and so I'm glad he's gone. The second reaction was, wait a second, got who for him? And they started looking up stuff about Dante Jackson, the corner, and that wasn't very exciting. Third reaction, I think, is going to be yours, which is, wait a second, there's not really a possession receiver on this team. How is an NFL offense supposed to function without a possession receiver? It doesn't have to be an elite route runner like Deontay, doesn't have to be an elite pass catcher. But it's got to be something in that mold. You can tell yourself, and I've tried to tell myself, that can be Pat Freiermuth, but you're laying a lot on a tight end to become something that he's never been at the NFL level. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's kind of unfair because Muth is also going to have his blocking assignments, and those don't come without a significant amount of wear and tear. And let's remember that he hasn't exactly held up through wear and tear. So who do you get to replace him? Well, in some of the mocks that are out there, and particularly those that are done by people who follow the Steelers principally, who would be more aware of what their needs are, I've seen things like, you know, that the first round would be the center, the second round would be one of those offensive tackles if they fell, or maybe it goes in the other order. The offensive tackle comes first and they get West Virginia's Zach Frazier to be the center in the second round. And then what they do with these mocks is they invest the third and the fourth rounds both into wide receivers, hoping, I guess, that one of them will make it, and fully aware that the class is really, really deep. It's really deep every year, but it's 17 deep this year, and you're probably going to be able to get yourself a very, very good wide receiver in the third round. Well, this way, go third and fourth round, since your other thing that you'd want to get, defensive line, really doesn't exist in this draft. And that's not the worst thing I've seen out of these mocks. The worst thing I've seen is whatever's left in free agency at the position, which means the Steelers had better set themselves up at wide receiver, or at least with possibilities at wide receiver this coming week, or they're going to be put into the position that I think you yourself laid out here, if that's what you meant when you said how expensive the elite route running types are in the league. That includes trade capital. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers, and we're going to do another one of these tomorrow.